Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Today's Hi, everybody.
Topic. James.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Okay. I am here as
well. Today's topic, we're talking about physical state. We think about mental and emotional states all the time. How often do we think about our physical state? I've got lots of thoughts about it. I know my friends do too. So before we get to that, James, did you do anything interesting this week?
Something a little bit unorthodox, maybe.
Orthodox, unorthodox?
Tell us more. Yeah. We need to hear about it.
Unorthodoxly orthodox. So
it's like another version of appropriately inappropriate.
It is.
So one of Stella's friends from Toronto was visiting, and anyone that's friends with Stella, you know, has a very something unique about them, of course, probably a little bit like the two of us, Mary.
Yes.
And so Stella said, you know, you need to see this guy. You need to go and meet with him. Go and have a coffee. Go and do, you know, you just need to spend some time with him. Doesn't say anything more than that. And obviously today we're talking about physical state, right? There's a reason behind. And so I go on and meet with this guy. And one, I would say negative thing, you can say positive or negative. I see it as negative. But one negative thing that I tend to do is I can be easily influenced by the other person. So if someone says, if I say like, I'm not going to have a drink, and the other person says, come on, have a drink with me. I'm going to have a drink. You have a drink. It's very difficult. It's almost impossible for me to say no. I will mirror them and do, and I'll just end up ordering what they have. If they want a gin, they want a beer, they have a coffee, whatever, I'll just do. Anyway, this guy has a cigar. Okay.
Oh,
I haven't
dear.
Smoked a cigar in probably 2-3 years. I don't smoke until that night. So I end up having a cigar with him, right? We sat down. Turns out that he's a rabbi, right, Stella? He's
no,
a rabbi?
No. But it's there's different sects in the Jewish religion because he's an Orthodox Jewish, and okay. He's from the lineage of the Kohens, which are the ancient priests, right? So he's been studying the Talmud since he was, you know, a kid, right? So, you know, he asks questions and he's very deep. He's an amazing, amazing guy. But because of the way that he communicates, you'd think that it's like rabbinic, but he's not a rabbi.
Yeah. And so what ended up happening, and you're right, he is amazing. And we've talked about this before about asking questions, right? Making the other person feel acknowledged, to feel listened, to feel understood. And he started off by saying, look, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me about your story. Tell me about your journey. And we just, and after 10 minutes, I was uncomfortable talking about myself. I was like, over to you. And he's like, no, we've not even started. Tell me about this and tell me about this. And for an hour and a half, literally, I was talking about myself, which was super uncomfortable, but he just kept going deeper. And how did that happen? And what about this? And how did that make you feel? And at the end of it, he was like, let's go outside and meditate. Bear in mind, this was midnight for me. It's dark. And we literally went outside to sit on the grass and meditated for half an hour. And I've learned from Stell how to do it and different people. So it was similar techniques, but just the kind of 2 hours that we had was incredible. But I'd had quite a stressful day. It was Friday, end of the week. It was super busy. I was feeling, you know, quite tense. He knew that. He picked up on it. And we just went and the evening just became amazing. And my state changed because of the meditation. It changed a little bit because I felt like I was able to release.
Mm-hmm.
Not he was going to tell me how the day was and what was your problems today, but it was me talking and him listening and me just talking about lots of different things. So I was releasing. And then after we went and meditated, breathed, what, you know, whatever you want to call it, but we sat down, relaxed, we breathed, we focused on breathing, we focused on, you know, we listened to brown noise, Mary. First time I ever listened to the brown noise. Wow, that thing's except we actually went, he went up to the room and he got a pen and paper. We came down and we wrote down some things. And whilst I was writing it, I haven't told you this, whilst I was writing it down, I was listening to the brown noise. Holy.
Isn't it great?
it's ridiculous how your mind can operate at a different level because you can't think, right? You don't have
Yeah.
the. So thank you to you.
Oh, that's fascinating. So why did you choose brown noise in the moment?
Actually, not thank you to you. Thank you to him because he was the one that told me to listen to
Yeah, I was gonna say,
it.
I was like, you weren't like, I know in this moment.
No, but I did say,
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this lady said on the podcast, I was like, no, that's our podcast.
You were on the podcast. Okay, so now
So.
I have a bunch of questions. So, first of all, what made the questions that he asked you, like, because I've been that way before, like at the end, you go like super tense, you're focused, you're whatever, you're not in your good space. And then someone's like, tell me about yourself. And you want to like give them the finger or in the moment, like you're feeling. So what made that exchange okay? What made you unravel and open to the experience?
So when I first started to answer the question, I did it in obviously the very typical way that we do. That becomes about the work and the family.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before where we said that's not who you are, that's what you do. So who are you? So he's like, so who are you as a person? Because he's like, look, if you're friends with
Energy.
Stell and Stell speaks, highly about you as he does, there's something deeper than what you're telling me right now. So what is it? What is deeper
Oh.
than that? And that's how we ended up getting into
Yeah.
it. And
You're like, I gotta
he
pull my
used
socks up
the
here. I
phrase
can't
of
just. Can't just give away the fluffy answers. Yeah.
well, the funny
So
thing is
yeah.
we had the conversation around values, right? And I think this is going to be a good opportunity for the listeners to understand how rapport can get created. But if you imagine what his top values are in life, what would you say they are, James?
Purpose,
Yeah.
giving,
Yeah.
connection, family, love.
Connection, yeah. And then the other question is, now that you can hear what his values are, because connection's big, like really big with him. And that's where those questions come from.
Right.
Right? He knows how to deeply connect, right? So, and the reason I'm bringing it up, the reason I'm so connected with him is because of the deep connection, which is my number va one value in pretty well every area of my life. Right. So
Right.
back to you, Mary, with what the way that he asks the questions, he knows where you're at. So he knows how to ask the questions to move you, but from a
From that
position of
spot.
where you are, not from an uncomfortable of a position where you're not, or too much of a
Yeah.
movement of where you don't want to go. Right. So
Yeah.
when you said, sometimes you want to give them the finger, it's because that person's not aware of you. Like they
Yeah.
don't, right? And he's really, really good at it, and he's genuine. Like his heart's like wide
Yeah.
open.
Well, that's beautiful.
But I think it's a good, example of the conversation we had around values too.
Could he ask you any? So the who are you? I think that's a really great way to get real. Are there any other questions that came up or stood out, like the questions themselves?
Half the time you can't remember, they're so deep.
Right.
Yeah,
You're in flow, probably.
it's just probing. It's an hour and a half, and then it's
Yeah.
yeah.
And then when you
I
went
mean
and
it's
meditated on the grass, were you like around a bunch of people?
no. We were just on our, I mean it was midnight. It was midnight
Yeah, okay.
outside the hotel where
Just
we're
the two of
at.
you
Just the two of us sat on
under
the
the moonlight
grass.
on the grass.
Yeah. And I realized
Beautiful.
how unflexible I am, because he's there with his like legs crossed like this.
Some
Now you'd
yoga
be
in your
fine with your
future,
yoga
James.
pose, yeah. But I was like, wow, how
Yeah.
do you sit like this for an hour? I was so comfortable.
So, what was your physical state? Uncrossed?
Oh, yeah.
No, physically. No, it's just super, super relaxed, super relaxed. And
I have a question.
okay.
Before you were, so you went into this high stress and then you
Yeah.
went through an experience that was transformative. I love those experiences. Like you spend a couple hours doing something and you're a different person after. So who were you after?
It's weird because, and I'm sharing something kind of very open here, but the sessions that I've done with Stell, I've talked about, I go back to a particular memory of mine where I felt like, for me, like Superman, Like James has been at the highest level, and I go back to Barbados when I was at a particular church, and it was even though we're not really that religious, and we've talked about religion and things before, but when I came out of that half an hour, 45-minute church session, I felt incredible. I felt like invincible, that whatever life throws at me, I can take it on. And I
Yeah,
felt like
beautiful.
that after the other night. So I'd gone from, in probably 2 hours, from super stressed, if I was agitated, if somebody came to me and said something, I'd snap very quickly,
Yeah.
to I was walking home and I was like, just, higher than cloud nine.
Beautiful. That's incredible. That's such a good intro to this whole topic of physical state,
I'm
because
done talking now. That's my bit. So over to you two
no,
for
hey,
40,
and
45 minutes.
I've told you before though that I had a friend in one of our earlier podcasts, because the first few episodes we're all getting used to it and stuff, and that she'd listen to three or four, and she's like, I want James to talk more. So there we go. Over to you again. No, I'm just kidding. They like the sound of your voice and the things that you say. Okay, so physical state.
Well,
When I
thank you
think,
to Mary's friends if you're still listening. If you're still
oh
listening
yeah.
on episode 6, then we're all good.
Oh, so
No,
sweet. They're gonna
this
love
is
it.
11. This is 12, episode
This is
12.
12. Yeah. Hopefully they're still listening. So that'll be a good test. See if they get the shout out. These are my high school buddies, by the way, everybody. Known them for a lot of time. Anyway, okay. Physical state. So we often talk about our mental state, like I'm, stressed or focused or whatever. We talk about an emotional state. We talk about how it feels, or we kind of can get caught up thinking about that. And I would offer up that often we let life happen to us physically. And the example I'll use when I talk to groups about this stuff is, have you ever been pulled over by the cops? And most people would say yes. And that feeling, not that they did anything wrong, run a stop sign, speeding, something, whatever, but that feeling of the adrenaline that sort of hits you, your body gets hot, your blood starts pumping, your stomach's in your head, that kind of feeling. Something in life happens and you feel it physically in your body. We tend to let life happen to us and feel it in our body. What we don't always realize is that we can let our physical state happen to our life. Like, we can do the reverse. Good examples of that would be breathing exercises. We know that a few deep breaths lowers blood pressure, heart rate, anxiety, stimulates attention processing. So just taking a few deep breaths does that. We know that you can, in your even in your vision, you can, when you expand your view into the peripheral, like you see yourself in the room, it has the same effect that deep breathing has. Just what's interesting, so you can actually change your mental and emotional experience through changing your physical state, but it's a tool that I think is underused in the world. It's like we let the world happen to us physically, but we don't let ourselves physically happen to the world. So that's what I think
True.
the opportunity is. You're going to
Anybody
do a
else?
breathing technique for us?
Do you guys want to breathe?
Of course.
Okay, because I like
Let
to
the
start
listeners go sessions. through this. So just start the session as Yeah, if, yeah, like get the
absolutely.
feel it Yeah, because I do this it,
all the time.
okay, let's
You
go.
come to meetings with me. This is often, I once started a meeting, like a new business meeting with a bunch of CEOs. And I'm like, guys, we're going to breathe. And they're like, what is this place? Okay. So to do that, Disclaimer. If you are driving, listen to this. I'm not saying stop and pull over when you close your eyes. Just slow down when you close your eyes.
just that's right. That's right. Just trust the universe. It'll be fine. It'll all work out
It'll be
great.
okay. It'll be
All
okay.
right. Okay. So assuming you're not driving a vehicle, uncross your legs. Sit up tall, so you have a nice long spine, but your belly is soft. Okay. Gotta close your eyes. I can see my partner's looking here. Okay, close your eyes. Now I see. Okay, good. Cool.
Close.
Awesome. So are mine. Okay, so now feel your feet on the floor. Feel your seat in your chair. Roll your shoulders down and back. And then just draw your chin back in space about a centimeter. Just start to notice where your breath goes in the body on the inhale and where it stops before you exhale. So don't try to change it just yet.
And we'll exhale all the air out. Take a big breath in for 3, 2, 1. Hold for 3, 2, 1. Breathe out. All the way to empty. Hold. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. To empty. Big, big, big breath in. Feel the belly. Feel the rib cage expand. The chest fill up. The throat fill up. Take an extra sip of air at the top. Hold. Open your mouth. Stick your tongue up. Big sigh. Let it go. All the way to empty. And open your eyes. How do you feel?
Exhausted.
Are you joking? Do you feel relaxed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
So that does all those things just in a few breaths. So it's funny. I mean, you guys know that I teach yoga as well as this other thing that I do. And it's funny when you practice breathing exercises like that on a regular basis, you'll find yourself naturally doing that in stressful situations. Like if I'm in traffic and I have to get to a meeting, or if I'm in a meeting and I'm frustrated or whatever, you always have the tool of your breath to take you into a different physical state. And it's incredible what it can do. We talked about anxiety and stuff before, but if ever I'm feeling anxious, I will mindfully be like, okay, well, obviously I need to breathe. And just even it takes your attention off of whatever you're worrying about. But it does change. And once you've changed your physical state, you can change how you think and feel. Like, it's amazing the connection of these things. And we're often on autopilot. We're often like sort of the passengers in this, and we can change it at any time. So it's super powerful.
I have a story.
Please, stories.
So it's probably around 2 years ago, and a colleague of mine was telling me about this gym, right? Because she looked different. I was like, wow, like, what's changed? She goes, oh, it's the gym. I said, how on earth did a gym make you? Because, I mean, it was a physical change, but there was something that was different coming off of her. And she goes, it's the gym. And I said, well, what do you do at the gym? You work out? She goes, no, it's a little bit more than that. I'm like, okay, I don't get it. She said, well, like, as an example, on Sundays, you can bring one of your children, because if they're young, with you to the gym, and then they work out with you, and then they support you at a physical level, but also at a level that you need, including taking care of the children in this case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, this is interesting. So I, you know, get online to see what this gym's about, and it's all women. And one of the instructors happens to be one of my former contact lens reps. So I reach out to her and I'm like, you're an instructor at this gym. And, you know, you could tell in text she was uncomfortable. How the heck do you know that? Right? Because the two worlds are crossing. It's like you, right? Yoga instructor,
yeah.
Businesswoman. It's like, so she's very similar that way. Anyway, so she says, why don't you, you know, tell your wife to come with your son, right? So she went, and it's like hot. They keep it really, really hot in the show. She was uncomfortable and said, I didn't like it very much. And then, you know, Suzanne asked me, how does she like it? I said, but she said it was too hot. And then she said, why don't you come? And I said, come where? She goes, come to the gym. I said, it's all women. She goes, yeah, but you'll understand, because the concept that we do there, you'll be able to grasp. And he was, make a long story
short.
Will
everybody think it's weird that there's some dude in the room?
Well, that's what I thought, right? I mean, I'm trusting her. So sure enough, I'm there. There's 25 women.
I mean,
leaving.
He's also not really a dude either. I mean,
that's
he's,
true. Yeah, I converted to being Stella. But imagine there's 25 women coming out of the room, and then 25 or 24 women and me about to go in. And well, what really got uncomfortable is one of my loudest Italian patients happened to be in the room coming out. And she goes, Dr. Nick, only you would come to women's gym. So I'm thinking to myself, get me out the back door right now.
That checks out though,
anyways.
actually.
Well, but you know, the universe speaks, and the owner came up to me and she said, "Are you Gabriel's father?" And I said, "Yeah." She, but how do you know Gabriel? She goes, "Well, my son James is in his class." And I thought, okay, that's a sign that I should be in the room. So I make a long story short, here's this 1 hour exercise, like physical exercise. It's the toughest class. I lasted 10 minutes, and I thought, okay, how am I going to make it through this thing, right? And I didn't want to be the only dude in the room that's like stopping, you know, first. So I'm just pushing through. I'm pushing 20 minutes in. Everybody's just flying. I'm pushing through and pushing 25 minutes in. You know, two of the most fit looking women stopped, right? Anyways, at this point, the instructor's like, "Where in life do you give up? When do you not push through? Blah, blah, blah." So now the life lessons start coming up, right? And I felt like my football coach was yelling at me, right? In a good way, though, like push through, push through. And I did. I pushed through
Really?
for the full hour. And at the end, I could not move. I couldn't move for 3 days, but I
What were
didn't
you
realize
doing?
it's a lot of movement, a lot of cardio. It just happens to be that that's the class that was the most cardio, and I hadn't worked out in such a long time, and I was really athletic when I was younger, right?
Can you
So
be a little
anyways,
bit more specific? Because hang on, you're in a room with other women, and you're just saying there's a lot of movement for an hour and we're all sweating. Like, just be a little bit specific on.
it was all cardio. You're like, oh,
It wasn't good movement,
yeah.
James. I honestly thought I was gonna die. Like it was intense. I
But
literally
like,
couldn't move.
are we talking aerobics? Are we
Yeah, it
talking
was
like
aerobics. It's
Pilates?
like Pilates. It was like jumping jacks, like left and right.
Okay.
Like you're not stopping. It's like
Like
cardio
high
upon
intensity,
upon
intensity like
cardio,
movement.
high intensity movements. I mean, it
Okay.
was, you know, and we haven't worked out in a year and a half. It's I literally couldn't move for 3 days.
Can we
Anyway,
talk about
so
you? Can we put the name of the gym in the show notes or
yeah,
something?
of course,
If you're in New
Soar
York, I want a piece of
Studio. Yeah,
course. Okay.
Soar, Soar Studio. Their concept is brilliant, which I'll
Sore.
talk about the concept
And you
now.
were sore for 3 days.
Oh,
As
it
he
really, like
soared in
was
his
the
spirit.
worst. It was the worst and best feeling of my life. Okay, because what ends up happening is when you get to the point of exhaustion in the physical body, okay, and this is what I wanted to get to, because the physical and the emotional are tightly connected. And it was probably the third session, I think, because they get you to a point where you're literally out of your body. You're just in movement, in flow, right? That's their big thing, because they add music to it, okay, so that you're in the zone. It's kind of like the brown noise, James. Like you have the music going on so that you don't have to think about how tired you are. You could just be in the moment, and it's your mat and it's your space, and they emphasize it. And especially at the end, you're lying there in corpse or Vipassana pose, and then that's where the life lessons are, and they're trained really, really well to tell either a story or ask the question so that you start thinking about the emotional state that you're in at this point, right? So class 3, I'm bawling. Like I'm literally crying, because it's like she was talking to me in terms of what I needed to hear in that moment, right? And it's happened a few times, but the reason I bring up the story of physical versus emotional is that the physical body needs to be in a great state to be able to handle the other bodies. Okay, I think we talked about it before, but you have the physical body, then you have the emotional body, then you have the mental body, and then you have the energetic body. Okay, and they sit on like a pyramid where the base is the physical space, right? So, you know, the reason again I'm bringing up the story is I wish somebody told me. And I kind of knew it, because as a high-level athlete, your brain is working differently. You function differently. You think differently. You play differently, right? It's because you're working out every day. You're eating properly. You're sleeping well. All these things come into play. So the physical body has the capacity to do what it needs to do to hold the space for all the other bodies to function well. And the reason I love this gym is they tap into all four, okay, at the exact same time within a one-hour session every day, in different forms of how they do their the exercises, depending on, you know, one's called tone, the other one's called sore. They have different labels to what it is that they provide, right? So I wanted to start off the story to explain to people, yes, we're going to talk about physical state. I'm not going to say, well, yeah, it's the most important one. It's the foundation, right? So if the physical state isn't laid down properly, you can't access the other ones. And that's where the magic of the essence of you as an individual start coming
Well,
to
think about what people do typically, which is we live in our heads. It's like like the body is just a vehicle to carry around the brain. It's sort of like that they're like the brain is the end all be all of who I am or whatever, right? And then what are we doing typically? Taking in all kinds of information that, in the world through social media, through the news, through whatever. So our brain is sort of cluttered with a bunch of nonsense. And so it's the tail wagging the dog. We've got the brain directing the physical and emotional body versus the other way around. So now let's talk about what things to do to manage your physical state, like just to come into a physical state that serves you. We talked about breathing, we talked about your vision. It's like when people go and look out at the horizon, we've talked about this before. They tend to have calm because they're taking in more of a view versus that very narrow focus of a view when you're in fight or flight or stress mode, right? But there's all kinds of things like music, people dance. Like I'll start meetings sometimes and I'll say, okay, everybody, this is like virtual meetings. Well, no, I've done it in person too, but everybody mute their microphones, turn their cameras off, keep your headphones in and dance to your favorite song for 3 minutes, then we'll come back to the meeting. It's a completely different meeting if people do that, right? Like just be silly and dance around for a few minutes or whatever. So the things that you do, or when I am feeling stressed, and oftentimes I'll get up and I'll work right away in the morning, which I know is probably a whole other thing we could talk about that I shouldn't do, but I can start to feel the stress build up in my body. And then I know I need to go for a run. Like, okay, now it's time to go get physical. And I can feel the stress or whatever it is melting away, like first kilometer in, or 10 minutes into a yoga class and that kind of thing. It's a tool that you could change your physical state at any time. So what are some of the things you guys do?
I think that doing something, so for me, it comes from the stress is mental, right? Because we're either in a past tense or future tense, and whatever we're visualizing is not what we want, which creates that state, that stressful state. And for me, then something physical changes that state, can change it. So when I was golfing when I was younger, and the psychologist used to tell us if you get stressed on the golf course, which most golfers invariably do, what you do is you could do two or three things to bring you back into the present. Because he said, you're stressed because you're thinking about the shot that's happened that you're not happy with, or you're thinking about the shot that you're going to hit that you're not looking forward to. So it's one of them two things. If you come back to the present and you ground yourself, so what he always said to me is one of the best things you can do is take your shoes off and your socks off. You can't do that on the golf course when you're in a bit, but he said grounding yourself and feeling like, like when you're like in slow motion walking where your heel goes, then the main body of your foot, then the toes, and if you focus on, he said, do it when you're walking. If you're feeling stressed, focus on the pressure that you're putting on the ground. Try and connect with nature. Even if you've got your shoes on, focus on the ground. How hard is it? How soft is it? Is it spongy? Where is your foot? Is it centered? Is it this? And then he always used to say things like, so whilst you're doing that, try and smell flowers. Because if your mind is focusing on something like that, but you're also then focusing on the ground. And whenever I did that, it brought me right back to the present. And everything had gone. And then if you then focus on breathing as well, if you need to go a bit more deep, if you're feeling still worked up, focus on the breathing just to bring everything back, and then I was back on.
That's amazing. And you can do that no matter where you are. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, which you guys know that I do sometimes. It's the worst. I'm like wide awake at 3 a.m. But I will. And then, I think about all the things of the day or the future, all the things you just described. And then, invariably, the thing that helps me fall back to sleep is breath and like focusing on. And I'll do this in a yoga class too. When you're in Shavasana, you're just laying on your back. So that's how I am when I'm sleeping and just noticing where my body's connected to whatever's supporting me, right? And so it's that feeling of, okay, I feel the back of my head supported by my pillow and my shoulders and my hips. Like you get kind of like, it's like what you were describing with the feet I'm doing as I lay in my bed. And then I do breathing exercises and then I fall asleep. Like I forget when I fell asleep, but it's usually in that moment when I I guess I am. When you're focusing on breath, you have to be present, especially if you restrain your breath at all. Like you can't really do anything else when you're holding your breath. You can't be like, "Ooh, I'm gonna plan my next week." You know, you're really it put, brings you right back. So, yeah, that's a great one. I love it.
The
How about
thing, I mean,
yourself?
we're recording this January 7th, so it might not come up for a while, but the big what's the number one New Year's resolution most people have?
Lose weight.
Lose weight, right? It's the big one. And how long does it last?
Oh my gosh, I just did an article on this. Like, oh man, I know the number.
10
There's
days.
so no, there's
It's a
like
little
I know.
long it's a little longer than that. I think, you know what it is?
I'm gonna pull it up, but I, like there's it's ridiculous. It's like 50% stop within the first week of their New Year's resolutions.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look it
it's
up
got to be
now.
less than 21 days, right? Because if it's 21 days, the chances are then that becomes a habit, right? So
Yeah, 30, 30 is
it's
usually the magic. Like 30, 60, 90 are the ones where it becomes a habit. But I don't know what the stats are. Mary's going to pull them up, but I know that most people don't make it,
Well,
right? And
9 to 12% of people report successfully achieving their resolutions by the end of the year, and almost 25% quit within the first week.
right?
Imagine it's like, oh, 4 days. This is tough. I'm back to eating a lot.
For the other 51 weeks.
That's right.
We'll
That's right.
try it again next year.
That's right. We,
Because the reason I bring it up is that how everything's all connected, and it'd be great if people can work on working out and doing the things that they need to support their physical body. But it's easier said than done. That's why I want to share this.
Oh, yeah.
And I always say, just do something, even if it's small, like going for walks regularly, so that it does become a habit. Okay. Because any type of movement or motion,
Yeah.
okay, which includes emotion, is all connected. Okay.
Yeah.
And the key thing to everything in terms of the physical state is to make sure that you're emotionally connected to it, so that the brain enjoys the process. Okay, so couple pointers. Number one, you'll hear people saying, my number one resolution is to lose weight. Wait, right there, you've lost the game. Okay, because what you're looking for, you won't find. So it's like when you want to lose 50 pounds, okay, it's what we call an away from. Okay, so you're moving away from the pain or the problem. The second that you turn it around to say, what is it that you actually want? You have to basically say, how much do you weigh now? And what's your target, which moves you around so that you're moving towards a goal. So say, for example, you're, 250 pounds. Now you have to say, my goal is to be 200 pounds, not to lose 50. Okay. The second piece is to get emotionally connected to what it's going to be like when you are 200 pounds. Okay, so you get emotionally connected, and it means something to you. Okay, and now what you're doing is you're telling your brain and your mind, hey, I'm gonna be ex like happy, I'm gonna be healthy, I'm gonna be right. So you have this visceral emotional connection to it that gives you movement, okay, or motion, which now you have more of a chance to do something every day because you pre-programmed your brain to think a certain way. Okay, now with regards to the physical state, what do you, another one that you hear is, I'm going to eat better, right? I'm going to, lose weight. I'm going to sleep better. You hear all these amazing buzzwords, but nobody can grasp how to do it because it's easy, but it's not simple. Sorry, it's simple, but it's not easy. Okay. Because there's a lot of components to this thing. But when you understand the bigger picture of why you're doing it, it makes a huge, huge difference. Okay. And I'll tell a story quickly because, so my youngest son has cerebral palsy, right? And I would see patients in the office that looked 20 years younger than they actually were. And it was consistent that they had the same family doctor, right? So I keep seeing this Dr. Schleifer, Dr. Schleifer, Dr. Schleifer. I'm like, so finally I asked one of the patients, I'm like, does she have the fountain of youth in there? Like, you guys look unbelievable. She goes, don't you know what she does? And I said, no. She goes, she does functional medicine. She specifically works with cancer patients. But everything's about longevity. And now it's a buzzword, right? This was, I don't know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
Wasn't so much then.
So she came in to get her eyes checked. And I said, what are you doing in the office? Like, it's like the fountain of youth. And she started to explain to me. She said, you know what? Why don't you just come and I'll give you an idea of what we do at a cellular level, because you understand it medically. And she did for an hour, which was brilliant. And then I said, sign me up. And she said, but you're healthy. And I said, yes. And she goes, well, why would you want to come in? Like, you're young, you're healthy. And I said, because I have a child with cerebral palsy, and one of these days is going to be a big child, and I need to be strong enough to carry him. So there's my why. Okay. Once the why gets ingrained in there, it set my intention to be able to talk to, you know, the physical state that I do every morning. I have a morning ritual, which we can talk about afterwards. But anyways, just for the listeners, attach the why, just do one thing at a time and emotionally connect to it so that you can actually experience what it is that we're talking about.
Yeah. And I think that because there's two things we're talking about here, then there's the, you can literally change your physical state within seconds through breathing. Through like just literally standing up, doing 30 air squats or whatever, listening to a song you love. Like, you can, you know, sort of shock your body out of whatever sort of negative space or low energy space you're in. You can even do it through things like gratitude. Really mindfully for a few moments, bring yourself back to something you're super grateful for. And all of a sudden you start to see, like, your body feels different. You see the world differently and all of that. That's kind of the, don't let how you're feeling in your body direct how you are in your life, because you can change how you're feeling in your body in a split second. So that's one. And now the second one that we're talking about, Stel, which I love, is the, how do you show up as the best physical version of yourself? And, you know, the best is just the best in this moment. It's not like, you don't have to be an Olympic athlete to be in good physical health. It's, are you drinking enough water? Are you sleeping enough? Are you, you know, making one choice a day that is proactive for your health? Because the research all shows that one positive choice leads to another positive choice leads to another positive choice. The same is true for negative choices. If you sit on the couch and eat Doritos, likely you're going to keep making, the next thing you do is grab a beer or whatever, right? So that's the, how do you, you know, prime the pump and get the physical body into the best space to experience life as well. Cause that's a huge part of it. Even like, how you eat, we know that the gut directs a lot of how you feel in your body and all of that, which is a whole other topic. But, the one feels very doable. Play your favorite song, dance like crazy around your office, get back to your meeting. The other one, take your shoes off and walk off. On the golf course. Just nobody will mind. Feel your feet on the
ground. Just wash them.
But they always say do that, right? One of the first things you should do is go outside, take your shoes off, and ground yourself.
Yeah. It's funny. When you were telling that story, it reminded me of when I started the business. I was, it was like over COVID, and it was quite a lonely experience. And I had a coach say that to me through my yoga practice. Like, okay, so in your yoga practice, through your standing sequence, notice your, like, spend a whole minute just standing in mountain pose or in tree pose, where you're really feeling your feet and the stability of you on the ground, to ground yourself. Like, in a forward fold, put your hands down on the mat and be in that moment to feel the support of the earth underneath you and all of that. So it reminded me of that. And it was like quite an emotional experience to feel that grounded when everything in the world was unsettled, including, starting a little business. I had no idea what was going to come of it and all of that, so beautiful. Well, I think that that takes us to the end of this one, everybody, although we could talk about it for days. Any final wrap up thoughts? One thought, feet on the ground, feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Eat your vegetables.
Feet on the ground and shoes off and feel the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I'd say mine would be breathing. Big, deep breaths. Just a few of them. Or your favorite song. I do love doing that too.
Sex is coming up in my mind right now, but physical.
Also a good idea.
Good idea. That note.
Brings you right into the moment. Right into the moment. Thank you, Stel. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram @meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.